WMAL News at 7. Good morning, I'm Steve Burns. The KKK says it'll be returning to Charlottesville today, and counter-protesters like musician Douglas Day say they are ready.
The more violent and angry the reaction they get, then the more they succeeded. So we're there to be as peaceful and non-aggressive and loving as possible.
The Klan's reportedly angry over the prospect of renaming Confederate memorials there. The Post reports members will be armed. Doron Ezickson at the Anti-Defamation League says conflict would just play right into their hands.
Obviously, we encourage groups to come together to demonstrate that there is a counter to the hate that's being expressed, but we do so in time and place that does not risk any kind of physical altercation between the groups.
Charlottesville's mayor tells the Post police will be on hand and ready to take action if need be. Metro's taking down ads in its stations for a new book by the controversial alt-right writer Milo Yiannopoulos. However, the move only came after rider complaints started coming in. Metro says the ad violates the system's advertising guidelines and that it intends to influence public policy and the public on an issue that has varying opinions. Yiannopoulos on Facebook says he wasn't contacted by Metro and claims taking his ad down is a violation of the First Amendment. There are some different narratives emerging from the meeting between Presidents Trump and Putin at the G20 summit in Germany.
It shouldn't be surprising the Russian side had its own description of what happened when President Trump pressed President Putin about allegations Moscow interfered with the 2016 elections. Putin, according to both sides, denied it, but Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov tried to pin a reaction on the American leader.
President Trump said he heard Putin's very clear statements that this is not true and that the Russian government did not interfere in the elections, and that he accepts these statements.
The Trump team quickly denied the president was accepting. Still, on Thursday at a news conference in Poland, President Trump himself again said maybe Russia interfered, maybe other countries. Bob Costantini, Washington.
New York's Mayor Bill de Blasio is scheduled to speak at a G20 protest today in Germany, but the mayor's facing sharp criticism back home for leaving the city at a busy time with almost no advance notice.
Bill de Blasio explained that he went to Germany because he was invited by the mayor of Hamburg to speak at today's peaceful demonstration.
To represent the fact that there are a variety of views in the United States on how to proceed on the big issues that face this planet.
Appearing on WNYC, New York's mayor defended his previously unannounced trip because he was waiting to find out about funeral plans for the police officer who was murdered this week.
Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum there. A group representing manufacturers of generic prescription drugs is filing a lawsuit against Maryland over the state's new law intended to stop pharmaceutical price gouging.
The Association for Accessible Medicines filed the lawsuit in federal court in Maryland. The group calls the new law an unconstitutional overreach and says it will create instability in the market for generic drugs. Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch has said the law, set to take effect in October, would give the state a, quote, necessary tool to combat unjustified and extreme prices. Manufacturers could face a fine of up to $10,000 per violation. Maria Leaf on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Metro riders headed out this weekend know before you go there's a big closure downtown that could add some significant time to your trip. There will be no trains between Foggy Bottom and Federal Triangle on the Orange, Blue, and Silver lines this weekend. Metro is working on ceiling tile repairs. Among some other projects, Farragut West and McPherson Square, along with the lower level of Metro Center, are all closed. Shuttle buses are running between stations. Sports, a walk-off single from Daniel Murphy in the 10th lifted the Nats over the Braves 5-4. The O's blow a 6-run lead, losing to the Twins 9-6. Traffic and weather's next.
They're coming. The daily afternoon thunderstorms that signal summertime in Washington.
We're looking at rain and lots of it.
And before you know it, they'll knock out your power, double your commute time, and ruin your day at the beach.
Potential for flash flooding over the next 2 hours.
Be weather aware with Washington's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Rain amounts are about 1 to 2 inches per hour.
Stay ahead of the storm with the Weather Channel.
I'm meteorologist Ray Stajic from the Weather Channel.
Washington's Mall, WMAL.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Bull & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even 3 U.S. presidents have Bull & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to bullandbranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's bullandbranch.com, Promo code SLEEP.
Does your basement or crawl space have damp, musty odors? Do you worry about indoor gases and pollutants? Everyday living generates moisture that can nourish mold and odors, even asthmatic triggers. Indoor pollutants linked to respiratory ailments, birth defects, and cancers can become trapped in your home. You can't buy health, but you can buy Wave's moisture control and air quality products. Wave Home Solutions, for a dry, healthy home. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to dryhome123.com. That's dryhome123.com.
For non-surgical and drug-free neuropathy treatment, VirginiaFamilyChiropractic.com.
7:05 now, getting the latest from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center. We go to James Stanley.
Steve, we're looking good this morning so far on the Beltway Interloop and Outer Loop. We aren't seeing any delays. There was a crash earlier on the Interloop, but that's been cleared. It's all free-flowing this morning. No delays at all. We do have a police investigation, though, on I-97 southbound right around Crownsville over to about Highway 50, and they've got all of those lanes blocked. It's been that way since about 3 o'clock. Also, a police investigation happening on Highway 1 on the southbound side between Duke and Franklin. All of those lanes are shut down as well. Here in the district, things are flowing good this morning. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Up to 90 today, partly cloudy with a chance for an isolated shower. Down to the mid-60s tonight. Tomorrow looks sunny. High 86. We're at 73 right now in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM. At AM 630.
You're listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi joins us from Newsmax.com, where he is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist. Much to talk about. Two presidents this morning, Putin and Trump. John, great to have you with us.
Great to be here today.
What are we hearing, John, from the White House and other sources on the outcome of the meeting and what they talked about?
Well, it depends on where the spin doctors are seated. Foreign Minister Lavrov said that President Trump did bring up alleged Russian interference in U.S. elections last year. President Putin said it was exaggerated, and Donald Trump accepted his explanation. These are the words of the voice of Russia, Foreign Minister Lavrov, and I might add, the voice of Vladimir Putin when he goes abroad. On the other hand, others are saying that President Trump brought up U.S. concerns about the Russian presence in Ukraine and the seizure of Crimea, as well as the Syrian events and North Korea, all hot burner items on the foreign policy agenda. Now, it's going to be some time before we find out what really happened in those 2.5 hours that the two presidents sat down and met. I would say that the United States will watch very carefully to find out if Donald Trump brought up the human rights issue and tried to link it to the lifting of any possible U.S. sanctions against Russia. It's no secret that Vladimir Putin is coming down harder by the week on his political opponents. One day before he met with his U.S. counterpart, Mr. Putin's security forces cracked down on the campaign headquarters of Mr. Navalny, who expects to oppose the president in the next elections in Russia next year. This comes on the heels of the Kremlin-backed crackdown on Open Russia, the largest anti-Putin organization and the one responsible for mass demonstrations throughout the country. There's the case that we've talked about on this program, the second poisoning and near death of Vladimir Karamirza, the dissident filmmaker and Putin critic. All of these things have happened in recent times. They are not ancient history, and whether or not the U.S. brought them up at the Hamburg summit remains to be seen. For now, the two leaders have met, and it will be very interesting to watch their relationship as time goes on. One last thing. The last two presidents of the United States, George W. Bush and Barack Obama, both attempted a reset with Russia. Both began with high hopes for dealing with the man in the Kremlin, and both ended their terms voicing disappointment with Vladimir Putin. What this president has to say in the future, and as time goes on in his working relationship with Mr. Putin, will be a story worth watching.
So Vladimir Putin has 18 years experience in political leadership, different positions in Russia. Donald Trump has 6 months of experience in political leadership. They say that when Putin sets an agenda, he sets an agenda for a meeting he can't lose. Sounds to me like the president fared pretty well against Putin.
It sounds as though he did, and remember, he came in after a triumphant speech in Poland and reasserting U.S. relations with the Polish government, a sworn enemy of the Russian government. And he certainly negotiated from a position of strength and feeling pretty cocksure after his day in Warsaw. Now, that said, you make a good point, Rick. Next year, Vladimir Putin will match the record of Leonid Brezhnev for the longest tenure of any leader in the Kremlin. And he's seen presidents since Bill Clinton come and go. Donald Trump was elected president, has a 4-year term, and must face the voters again. It may well be that Vladimir Putin thinks he can outwit this president by simply outlasting them, as he has three of his predecessors.
So you followed Tessie May, and you followed Angela Merkel, and you followed the other leaders that are at the G20. How do you think President Trump is doing in terms of representing America and himself?
Well, as someone who draws the most attention when he sits down with the G20 leaders, he makes no major mistakes. There's no stumbles that are there. He's doing fine. But also remember, the entire meeting is overshadowed, darkened, if you will, by the president's stunning announcement that the U.S. was withdrawing from the Paris Climate Change Accord. This led to some strong languages from all the world leaders you mentioned. May of the United Kingdom, Merkel of Germany, and Macron of France. Now, these are people who have to deal with one another, and all is cordial. But it must also be said that relations are a lot more tense since Mr. Trump surprised the world by keeping his promise on the Paris Accord. A postscript on that. The president will be back in Europe next week for Bastille Day, accepting the invitation of France's President Macron. Originally, Macron, Merkel, and company said there can be no renegotiation of the U.S. role in the Paris climate change. And then President Macron made his surprise invitation to his handshaking rival, Donald Trump. Mr. Trump accepted. It could be the climate change accord is back on the table, and the master deal maker may surprise us all.
So, John, earlier this week, you wrote a headline, "No Trump Press Conference Anytime Soon." What can you tell us about the future of the media and the White House briefing room?
All right. Donald Trump had an impromptu 70-minute news conference in the East Room of the White House on the day he announced his appointment of the Secretary of Labor. That was back in January, and the fact is that since then, he has not met the press. John Kennedy had the first televised news conference, taking 37 questions in 45 minutes on January 25th, 1961. Barack Obama had a primetime news conference in the East Room barely 2 weeks after becoming president. I was there, and Donald Trump has yet to have anything of the sort that dramatic and that newsworthy. His news conference consists of taking one or two questions flanked with another world leader who's visited the White House, Merkel, May, Shinzo Abe of Japan, and others. My guess is that Sarah Sanders, the deputy press secretary, meant what she said and said precisely what she meant when she said there's nothing that's going to be scheduled like this in the near future, but if it is, this group of reporters who cover the White House will be the first to know. I will say one thing. I do believe with all my heart that the White House and its communications maestros are going to realize that the off-camera briefings are just not cutting it with the American public that not only loves the daily press briefings, but has come to look at it the way they would Law and Order, NYPD Blue, or CSI, or Breaking Bad, almost a popular daily drama. And my guess is that with Sean Spicer, almost as popular a character as the district attorney on Law and Order, that the series will be brought back and the cameras will be back in the White House sooner rather than later. You heard it here first.
So what's next on health care legislation? We'll ask John next on the Saturday Morning Update. First, traffic and weather.
From the Adib Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, checking the roads. Highway 50 westbound at Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Two right lanes getting by. That's a work zone. The left lanes are taken out. I-97 southbound just before Crownsville. Exit 5, all of those lanes are blocked all the way to Highway 50. That's some type of police investigation. In Virginia, an investigation happening on Highway 1 southbound from Duke to about Franklin. They've got all of those lanes shut down. And on the Metro, buses are replacing the trains from Foggy Bottom and Federal Triangle. All that began at 7 this morning and goes through tomorrow night. The Orange Line trains will still operate, though, at regular weekend intervals between Vienna and Foggy Bottom and between Federal Triangle and New Carrollton. Just check the Metro website for more info on that. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
For today, partly cloudy, a high temperature of 89 expected. Tomorrow, sunshine, high 86. Sunny again on Monday with a high of 90. Clouds Tuesday up to 96 in Washington, 74, heading to 89. 717 Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
The Saturday Morning Update continues. John Gizzi is with us. He is the chief political columnist, White House correspondent at Newsmax.com. A lot of challenges for the Republicans on health care on Capitol Hill. There was actually some back and forth and some developments this week. Recap it for us.
Well, on the health care legislation, it's very obvious now that the Senate is not going to vote on the American Health Care Act, the administration's alternative to the Affordable Care Act, known in common parlance as Obamacare. This comes as almost every other day a major insurance company backs out of the Obamacare exchanges and makes it more difficult to sustain the program under which many Americans have acquired health insurance. Put another way, something has to be done about it. But on the other hand, at least two senators cite the costs of the Congressional Budget Office as saying the American Health Care Act will be too costly to enact. Others say it really doesn't do away with much of Obamacare save for the mandates requiring people to get health insurance or pay a fine. With that, it's kind of hard to reach a conclusion, and that's why the president punted. He also threw in a new twist in this ongoing drama, and that is perhaps a repeal of the Affordable Care Act now and a careful examination of what comes next. Repeal of the American Health Care Act and an examination of what comes next. There is a fear that people will lose their health insurance, but this is highly unlikely, the administration said, because most Americans have paid for their health insurance for at least a year, higher premiums and all. We'll see what Congress does when it returns next week.
So, John, they have to have other things to deal with. What's up when they do get back in session?
Okay, the budget is something that has to be dealt with, and the appropriations to run the government have to be fulfilled in short order. I talked to Congressman Tom Cole, one of the cardinals, or I should say, member of the House Appropriations Committee. And he spelled out for me a very vivid image of a war between defense hawks, those who want to increase defense spending and start loading up our musketry for this very uncertain world, or the budget hawks who really want to bring down discretionary spending for both defense and non-defense agendas. The battle will be fought in committee, and it will be interesting to see who comes out on top. And remember, defense is only a small part of the budget. There's going to be a lot of these battles with a lot of these other factions. And the question is, how is the government going to be run?
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Follow him by simply Googling Gizzi on politics. And you can check him out, tomorrow, Reliable Sources. You're on CNN, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, right, John?
I was waiting for you to mention that, yes. Reliable Sources runs 2 hours with different segments. I don't know what segment they have me, but I'm looking forward to it. It'll be this Sunday, and I'm so looking forward to it. I move the time I normally go to church.
Tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. on CNN for John Gizzi this week. Thank you, John.
Always a pleasure. Stay cool, everyone.
7:21, Saturday Morning Updates, WMAL. Up next, you're riding Metro this weekend. Are you familiar with the new hours? Well, we're going to make sure that you are.
Hear that? That's the sound of a new Mercedes-Benz. Maybe even yours. Come to MGM National Harbor and enter the Choose Your Ride giveaway. Join M Life Rewards and play for a chance to win your share of $350,000 in prizes, including a new Mercedes-Benz convertible, sedan, or SUV. Next grand prize drawing July 30th. MGM National Harbor. This is monumental.
Visit mgmnationalharbor.com/promo for complete rules. Person must be 21. Limited time offer. Terms and conditions apply. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
7:21, Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. And, you know, the city of Washington has encouraged us now for decades to abandon the car and ride the metro. Take the car off the streets in rush hour and ride the subway. Take the car off the streets on the weekend so you don't have to park in Georgetown or over by the Verizon Center. Take the metro. So what do? They cut back the hours in the service. Steve Burns has been covering this for us on WMAL during the week. And, Steve, I know this is a little bit of old news, but for people that are not familiar with these new hours, the first time you find out is usually the hard way.
Yes.
And it's not a good surprise.
Yeah, there's always a learning curve on this. The new hours, there's actually a bit of an extension Friday and Saturday nights. It now closes at 1 in the morning. Sundays is probably going to be the day that trips up a lot of people. It's only open from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. now on Sundays. So that's something you want to keep in mind. The Sunday hours are a bit more condensed. If you're out late Friday or Saturday nights, you'll now have until 1 a.m. to catch a metro train.
So if you're going to the airport on a Sunday morning, I know that there were people that found out the hard way last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
On that one. And I there were some service reductions during the week, did I understand that?
Yes, there are a few fewer trains rush hours now. Instead of leaving end stations every 6 minutes, trains now leave every 8 minutes. The way the GM basically characterized this is that it's a right sizing of the system to reflect the current ridership.
Wrong. It's not a right sizing. It's wrong. Because I took the subway to the dentist the other day it's about 9 o'clock on a weekday morning. And that train was so packed that you couldn't get on that train. You had to wait for the next train.
Right. That's the whole conflict that they're dealing with now, is they have to win back riders. Safe Track is over. And that turned a lot of riders away when they saw, my stop is going to be closed for 3 weeks at a time. They have to win back those riders now, but at the same time, they have raised fares and cut back service. So it's going to be a bit of a challenge. And also, this weekend is going to be a challenge in itself, because of the downtown closure that we just mentioned, Foggy Bottom and Federal Triangle. No trains between those two stations on the blue, orange, and silver lines this entire weekend. It'll be shuttle buses instead.
I'm going to get a tank of gas so I can get around this weekend. And one other note on Metro, and this has to do with Milo Yiannopoulos. He's filed a $10 million lawsuit against his publishing company over a canceled book deal. Metro canceled him, too.
Metro's canceled him, too. His ads were showing up. I actually saw one of its ads for his new book at the station right near here at Friendship Heights. And apparently a few writers complained to Metro And Metro actually said, we agree. They took down those ads, saying the ads violated their policies on advertisements and stations in that they don't want any controversial advertisements that have influenced the public regarding an issue on which there are varying opinions. Those are Metro's exact words. And they say Milo's book ad is one of those advertisements.
And the book is entitled Dangerous. He had that deal with Simon & Schuster to publish it. They dumped the book after some of his comments about relationships between men and boys surfaced. So that is the latest on Milo Yiannopoulos and Metro. 7:26. Thank you, Steve.
Sure.
See you at 7:30.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little. But as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today. So it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
You, it's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just going to keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and of course we're keeping an eye on the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany, and the very latest is that police say a German man has been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder. He allegedly used a laser pointer to temporarily blind pilots of a police helicopter patrolling the skies over the G20 summit today. Police said in the statement the 27-year-old man, whose name was not released, blinded the two crew members of the helicopter so badly while they were up in the air that they had to stop working because they couldn't see. Following intensive investigations, police arrested the suspect at his apartment today and also found the laser pointer, the smoking gun. It is 7:28 Saturday morning update WMAL. Coming up, we're going to talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer about North Korea, that ICBM missile launch this week. What do we do about it? Also, we'll talk about President Trump and Vladimir Putin at the G20 summit, how it affects us from a national security standpoint. Also on the way, Mercedes Schlapp from the Fox News Channel, and we're going to talk with Mercedes about the media hype leading up to the G20 summit and how CNN got it wrong again.
My buddy recently returned from Afghanistan. We used to do everything together, fish, hunt, bowl. But he's not the same guy who left a year ago. He keeps to himself, won't go out, says he's still fighting the war. Luckily, with my encouragement, he contacted Givenhour. They offer free mental health care for military members and their families. If you know someone like my friend, give help. Give hope. Contact Givenhour on the web at givenhour.org.
In today's tough economy, goodwill of Greater Washington's mission is more critical than it's been in 80 years, and they need your help. When you donate your clothing, household items, computers, or vehicles to Goodwill, your contributions provide job training and employment services to people with disadvantages and disabilities right here in our nation's capital. And Goodwill makes the process easy and convenient. Just stop by any Goodwill-attended donation site or visit dcgoodwill.org for a location near you. That's dcgoodwill.org. Please, donate to Goodwill today.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk. News. Now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Steve Burns. Two U.S. bombers have flown to the Korean Peninsula, joining fighter jets from South Korea and Japan for a practice bombing run. U.S. military officials say the training mission is in response to North Korea's ballistic missile and nuclear programs. They're describing the mission as a defensive show of force and unity from the three allied nations, saying it demonstrates the ironclad U.S. commitment to its allies. Maryland Natural Resources Police are looking for the person who shot a bald eagle on Independence Day. The bird had to be euthanized. Natural Resources Police spokesman Candy Thompson says the injured bird was found Tuesday afternoon in Harford County. It was taken to a wildlife center where it was determined it had been shot and the bird had to be euthanized. While it's no longer endangered, the bald eagle is still protected. Maryland and federal laws prohibit shooting bald eagles. Thompson says the police are investigating. Democrats continue to have more confidence in the U.S. medical system than Republicans do.
When asked in the past, Republicans typically expressed more confidence in the American medical system. But the Gallup organization says after the most far-reaching changes in the Affordable Care Act took effect in 2014, Democrats started overtaking GOP respondents. The most recent poll was conducted last month as congressional Republicans continued their efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare. An average of 41% of Democrats say they're confident in the medical system, compared to 34% of Republicans. I'm Jan Johnson.
Sports, a walk-off single from Daniel Murphy in the 10th lifts the Nats over the Braves 5-4. The O's blow a 6-run lead, lost to the Twins 9-6. We'll check traffic and weather up next on WMAL.
Traffic and weather together, first on the Fives. Washington mornings on the Mall, weekdays 5 till 9.
On 105.9 FM and AM 630.
Washington's Mall.
WMAL.
Where Washington comes to talk.
Where I grew up, very few people went to college. I'm kind of the nerd in the family. I picked UMUC because they're really military friendly. My degree plan kind of went right into what I was doing at work. My coworkers would say, how does she know this stuff? To be a positive role model for my nieces, it had to be UMUC.
With an affordable, quality education from an accredited public state university, you can make the most out of your post-military career, like Shatasha Smith. At University of Maryland University College, serving the military is in our DNA, offering higher education to our country's service members since 1947. With 90-plus programs and specializations, UMUC strives to provide you with an education to match your skill set with the demands of today's employers and the resources to help you succeed, like our dedicated advisors, Veterans Resource Center, career mentoring, and more. With classes online and on-site at more than 20 locations in the D.C. metro area, UMUC gives you the flexibility your schedule demands. For all you want, it has to be UMUC. Learn more at umuc.edu/radio.
At 7:33, checking back in with James Stanley in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Steve, folks riding Metro this morning may see some delays because of some closed stations. The Farragut West, McPherson Square, and Metro Center, the lower level, all shut down. And the blue, orange, and silver lines all expecting some delays this morning. It's going to go through tomorrow night. Folks just need to make sure they check the Metro website or the app before heading to the stations. They may be on a bus. That's road work out through Maryland on southbound 95 around the airport exit. That's been there all night. Two right lanes are taken out. They're still there. And this earlier crash this morning, just after 3 o'clock on I-97 southbound around Crownsville over to about U.S. Highway 50. All of those lanes still blocked. That's a police investigation underway. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
High around 90 today, partly cloudy with a chance for an isolated shower. Down to the mid-60s tonight. Tomorrow looks sunny, high 86. Monday, mostly sunny, back up to around 90. And Tuesday, we're partly cloudy with a slight shower chance up to 96. Right now, 69 in Herndon, 68 in Olney. We're at 75 right here in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Meet Abe and Shelley Abish of Abish Financial Services.
There's a lot of big-time marketers, and people just kind of tend to go with this generic mass advice, and that's not what you want to do. You want to come in and build a retirement income plan that's suitable for you, that meets your individual specific needs and goals.
Things can always go south at any time. We can't predict it. We don't know when that may happen, and we want to be prepared.
The risk isn't worth the reward.
Join them Sunday afternoons at 3, right here on WMAL. More details at retirementkeyradio.com.
Stabbing or burning pains, tingling and numbness, cramps in your feet and legs, feeling like a sock is balled up under your foot. These distinct sensations sound strange to most, but are constant for anyone suffering from peripheral neuropathy. Most doctors are dismissive of these painful symptoms because the only treatment options used to be medications and their side effects, or surgery. Now there's a non-drug and non-surgical treatment for neuropathy at Virginia Family Chiropractic. We use a comprehensive approach combining high-dose laser, nerve regeneration methods, and balance therapies that are customized for each patient. We can rehabilitate damaged nerves. All treatments are non-surgical, drug and pain-free. Best of all, they're effective. If you experience numbness, shooting or burning pains, or loss of balance, call us for a free neuropathy consultation. It could change your life. Virginia Family Chiropractic, 571-350-3520, or click virginiafamilychiropractic.com.
America never flies alone. The Air Force Reserve is always there as the country's wingman. We're ready to do the job, to serve when called upon. We move America, taking people and supplies around the world. We build and repair runways to keep our planes flying. We maintain an array of magnificent aircraft, and we routinely perform amazing feats in the sky. We're your neighbors. We live and work in your communities and still hold part-time jobs that keep America strong. We are the Air Force Reserve.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
It is 7:36 on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is a CIA-trained intel operative, vice president for strategic initiatives and operations at the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, thanks for being with us again this week. I want to talk to you about President Trump and President Putin sitting down for what was scheduled to be a 30-minute meeting became a two-and-a-half-hour meeting. What strikes you about the meeting and what you've heard about it and the length of that meeting?
Well, apparently there was some really good coffee they just couldn't walk away from. So, no, I think, look, there's a lot going on, for better or for worse. Russia is seeking to return to its superpower status. That is an issue. President Trump, I think rightfully, when he was in Poland, pointed out all the bad things Russia's been doing, plus pledged energy independence for the Poles. That's a poke in the eye of Putin directly. So what this tells me, after Trump had poked Putin in the eye directly during that speech, Rick, is that, well, maybe there's some respect there, because frankly, the last guy just he was kind of a snowflake. And I don't think Putin, you know, as much as I don't think Putin necessarily agrees with Trump, I think he respects Trump, and I think that's where the basis for the 2 hours was. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to get to. I think there was a lot neglected by President Obama, so I think they talked in great detail about where to start agreeing on areas they can, and perhaps, you know, trying to not kill each other, you know, to, metaphorically, of course, on things they don't agree on.
Well, that's in contrast to President Obama's mic on comment, if you remember, when he didn't know the mic was on, and he said, well, right, I'll have a whole lot more flexibility after the election, you know, kind of right, kowtowing to President Putin, whereas Trump seems to be you know, reestablishing some kind of firmness from the United States.
Right.
Well, the Secretary of State, Tillerson, has confirmed the U.S. and Russia have agreed to a ceasefire in southwestern Syria. We've seen ceasefires over the years. Sometimes it's a photo op. Sometimes, you know, they do have a tendency to last. But what is your read on the significance here?
I'm going to be blunt. It's another photo op as far as I'm concerned. There's a lot of things going on. The bad guys get a vote, and they vote always to ignore the ceasefire. But I think the importance here, Rick, is we've got a seat back at the table. Again, going back to the last administration, John Kerry's complete incompetence resulted in our dismissal from the talks. The United States was, I think, reduced to observer status. So the fact now that at least we are now sitting at the table with everyone else, especially with the Russians who were invited, who, you know, we're not, they are, I think that's significant. So, again, this is an issue that has been worked a lot by the last administration to the point of where they failed. This is another point where this administration's had to work carefully to get us back into the discussion. So I'm hopeful that this means that there'll be more work for a permanent ceasefire and resolution, but we've got a long way to go.
You've had a very close eye on Vladimir Putin over the years.
Yes.
Is there the possibility of some kind of a coexistence between the United States and Russia, or do you see him just continuing to kind of amp up this return to the Cold War?
Well, you know, I actually do see elements of the Cold War coming back and some that are not so bad. If you remember the Brandenburg Gate speech, Rick, in June of 1987, the tear down this wall speech, I heard echoes of that in President Trump's speech in Poland, where he basically said, look, there's some things here we can do to be helpful, and we're not backing down, to, especially the Article 5 issue. I think that this is an issue of respect. The President Reagan had it correct. And I'm very close to a number of his former cabinet members, and I've studied how they handled the Russian issue, especially Gorbachev. And it was very clear, Rick, that it was necessary to have strength and respect for our effective work with the Russians. The Russians started to deal with this more effectively, obviously, after Reagan stood up and said, we're not going to do certain things. So I'd like to believe Trump has studied this as part of history and may well be implementing his own version of that. And I'm not saying that things are going to get better necessarily overnight, but I'm saying that there is a way of working so that we don't bump into each other in the night and create a nuclear exchange.
I want to turn to North Korea because we've seen, of course, this week the launch of the intercontinental ballistic missile. First off, the importance and significance and the threat of that accomplishment by North Korea?
Well, it's clear that they're continuing to develop the means of delivering nuclear weapons. That's the bottom line. And we've known for a while that they've been trying not to make bigger nuclear explosions, but smaller ones, and that they're smaller by the fact that the size of the warhead is reduced. And we've known for at least 7 years now that the reason they're doing that is to be able to reduce the size to put on a nuclear weapon. And they're very close. I think they've got the technology to mount it on a weapon. I don't know if they have the information on how to manage the reentry and things like that. That's a bit tricky. But my information is, yes, they can reach Alaska. They can reach Hawaii. And they're seeking to go further than that. And it's enough's enough. I think you've got to start dealing with these folks realistically. And somehow, Rick, they continue to obtain material, high technology, to develop these things. So we have to recognize the fact that, this is a small country on the top of a peninsula in the Pacific, and that stuff doesn't grow on trees. So that we've got to understand that they're getting help from someone. This is where we have to take aim, who's helping them, as well as making it very clear to UN that there'll be real grave consequences to any bad act.
So it appears the Chinese say they're going to help us, and then the Chinese turn around and strengthen their trade ties with North Korea. I have question marks about how much support we can expect from Vladimir Putin against North Korea. How do we maneuver, both politically and militarily, when we hear that we're going to get maybe some assistance from either China or Russia, when in fact they're probably not going to do that?
Well, this is another thing where we have some level of leverage. We need to be leveraging other spots. Look, the Russians have been on site for every one of the nuclear tests that North Korea's made. There's no doubt about that. I've been briefed on that. China has been as bad. So, again, I think we have to start pointing out that, especially to the economic consequences of bad behavior, and that if there's a shooting war, Rick, the Chinese will suffer the most, and Russia's going to suffer as well. So I think we have to remind these folks that we're not backing down, and the consequences of us not backing down may well result in bad things happening to their economy should we have to do something militarily. And again, military options are now on the table.
So the Associated Press reporting this morning that two U.S. bombers have flown to the Korean Peninsula. They're joining fighter jets from South Korea and Japan for a practice bombing run.
Right.
U.S. military officials say the training mission was in response to North Korea's ballistic missile and nuclear programs.
No doubt.
This obviously trying to send a signal to North Korea. Does this just continue to intensify North Korea's efforts to push back?
Well, look, this is the bottom line for our side, is that we're looking at all military options. Obviously diplomatic stuff, sanctions, all that's going to be tried. But the bottom line here, Rick, is that the military options are back on the table. And there's a spectrum of things being looked at, that some are old, being dusted off. I think there's the war plan that was created, 5027, I think, is the war plan, one of the contingency plans. There's new concepts being drawn up for how we respond to this. But this is the bottom line. However they push back, whatever they do next, I think it's going to be made very clear to them that there's going to be, consequences. And I think the question was asked, why didn't we shoot this missile down? Well, the answer is we don't believe, from the pretty early on, the trajectory is going to hit anything important. So I think we're watching very closely. But again, Rick, it's made very clear from everybody I've talked to at the Pentagon that this is the end of the road for the old way of doing business with North Korea, and they need to understand that.
Troubling story earlier in the week, hackers targeting nuclear facilities, the consensus right. of Homeland Security and the FBI. The example given this week, of course, the Wolf Creek Nuclear Operating Corporation in Burlington, Kansas. Just another example of cybersecurity, the importance of cybersecurity, and the potential dangers of cyber warfare. They say it was just over on the business side. What would have happened had it not been on the business side of the operating facility?
Well, that's the fear we've had. I mean, this goes back, Rick, we started these sort of exercising this sort of, against this sort of threat back in the 90s. I mean, that's how long we've known this is an issue. And if you can get into what we call the supervisory control and data acquisition SCADA systems of anything that's automated, you can literally cause it to implode, melt down, or do other things. So, imagine, if you will, a 3 Mile Island done remotely. And that's what people are going for here. So, most of those systems are well protected. They're kind of within their own virtual network, or better yet, sometimes a parallel hard system. But the bottom line is, if you're able to penetrate that, and these folks are seeking to do that, it would be essentially catastrophic. And look, this could happen in a power in a city, in a grid of traffic control. You could create total havoc. So this is a vulnerability we know about. I'm not sure if everybody has the answer to yet, but yes, this could be very bad if they get into the actual control measures and systems of any plant like that.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, always great to have you with us, Tony. Thanks so much for the perspectives.
Thank you, Rick.
You bet. We're at 7:47, Saturday Morning Updates, WMAL, and we've been talking a lot about the media. We've been talking a lot about the false news reports, all attributed to unnamed sources that have been surfacing over the past few weeks, one causing the resignations of 3 members of the CNN team. We're going to talk with Mercedes about the media run-up to the summit, the G20 summit, and how yet CNN got it wrong again. But first, a check of the traffic and weather.
From the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, checking the roads. Rick, we'll start with the good news. No accidents, no delays reported this morning on the Beltway Inner Loop or Outer Loop. Moving just like we'd hoped this morning at posted speeds. And no problems in the district reported. In Virginia, though, just getting a new crash on the George Washington Parkway. It's on the northbound side, right around the Roosevelt Bridge to about Sprout Run Parkway. You're down to just one lane getting by there. That's because of a crash. Park Service police there directing you around all of the activity. And 95 southbound around the BWI Airport exit, that's 47. 2 right lanes are blocked. Everybody's having to move over into those left lanes to get through. That's because of a roadwork construction project. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Well, it's a hot July weekend for Washington. Partly cloudy today, high 89. Sunshine tomorrow, high 86. Sunny on Monday, up to 90. Some clouds Tuesday, reaching 96 early in the week. Outside in Washington right now, we stand at 75 degrees. We are headed to 89, and we are at 7:49 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Great to be joined by Mercedes Schlapp, Fox News contributor. And first off, the president, of course, in Hamburg at the G20 summit. Friday, the president's much-anticipated meeting with Vladimir Putin. Before we talk about the meeting, I want to talk about the media anticipation leading up to their meeting, the speculation from unnamed sources. Your impressions?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think there was so much media obsession about how how President Trump and President Putin were going to look into each other's eyes and hold their hands, or how they would shake their hands, and looking at even just the body language. It was such an obsession about that. The other obsession, obviously, was what were the topics going to be, and will the president mention the Russian interference in the election? And that, I know it was CNN that reported that they had a source that said that the president wouldn't, and of course they got it all wrong. So it really, I think, to a certain extent, there was definitely a hyperness towards this meeting. Now, while the meeting was an important meeting, first of all, because those bilateral meetings provide the opportunity for there to be face-to-face time, and obviously a meeting that was slated for 30 minutes ran over 2 hours, and it was significant in the sense that, for example, the U.S. and Russia moved forward on a ceasefire agreement in Syria, which is significant, and they also addressed a variety of issues, including the Russian interference and North Korea and such. So I think that it was an important meeting, but I think that definitely there was this sense of saying, how are these two men going to basically treat each other? Who's going to show, you know, the bigger muscles? And I did find that it was a bit of an overplay on the part of the media, while at the same time understanding that this meeting for the United States and for Russia is actually important, because we've seen this relationship deteriorate for so long.
These are the two most important men in the world in terms of leadership. Putin, though, has 18 years' experience on the playing field. Donald Trump is in his rookie season. Your impressions of how the president fared against Vladimir Putin, who people say that he sets a meeting agenda and he sets that meeting to win.
Right. I actually spoke to a former national security advisor under President Bush, and I asked him that question about, well, you know, will Putin play these psychological games, being this former KGB agent? And he's like, you know, I kind of think that's not the case. I think that they're obviously for Putin, it was an important meeting because it just shows that he's trying to continue to prove himself to be and his nation to be a superpower, obviously, and being able to influence events across the globe. And obviously, I think for President Trump, for someone who is not, obviously someone who's been involved in foreign policy for a long time, he came across being very presidential. He's tough. You know, that's the one thing about the president. He's a tough negotiator. He's going to call it like he sees it. And I mean, that's part of him being a straight shooter. So I wasn't surprised when Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, came out and basically said, look, one of the first things we talked about was the Russian interference of the election. Of course, Putin denied that claim, but the president hit it head on. And I think that you would hope that those in the media would be at least somewhat relieved that the president brought up that issue, in addition to dealing with the other serious issues at hand, including Syria.
So the Democrats are seeming more and more desperate in their attempts to topple President Trump. As an example, just the other day, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio skips the NYPD Police Academy graduation, jets to Hamburg to join the protests at the G20, this within 24 hours of an NYPD officer being ambushed and assassinated. As we look toward 2018, are the Democrats running the risk of just a huge backfire with all of these antics?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that the biggest problem the Democratic Party obviously has had is a lack of messaging, a lack of offering policy solutions. You can't win on resistance alone. Americans want to see the government and Congress solving problems. And when you see in the case of de Blasio, that's a perfect example of just being – he went purposely to Hamburg to be the anti-Trump voice. And it absolutely made no sense, especially when he's hanging out with protesters who are anti-globalism, which obviously is a message that President Trump, talks about all the time. So what I found interesting is that there were many New Yorkers, friends of mine, who basically were just on a Twitter war with de Blasio saying, you know, the subways aren't working. We've seen homelessness rise. We've seen crime rise in the city. And where is the mayor? The mayor's in Hamburg. Makes absolutely no sense. Obviously, he's trying to make a national splash, but with the issues that they're dealing with in New York, I think it was the wrong political optic that the mayor displayed.
Mercedes Schlapp, Fox News contributor and Washington Times columnist, thank you so much as always.
Thank you so much.
7:55 Saturday morning update, WMAL. You can follow Mercedes on Twitter at Mercedes Schlapp. And we've got one more interesting tidbit about Chris Christie. That's next on WMAL.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries, this is Christina.
Hi, Christina. I need to change my oil.
Okay. Currently, we have 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic for $29.99.
Great.
That includes the filter and $5 off your next purchase of $30 or more if you're a Speed Perks member.
Whoa. Even better. Thanks.
Now at Advance Auto, get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic or high-mottage motor oil and a Purolator Boss filter for just $29.99. See store for details. Also at participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores.
How do you know you're getting first-class financial advice? Hi, this is Chase Hinterstein from the Wise Investor Group. The Wise Investor Group has been recognized in Barron's, Northern Virginia Magazine, the Financial Times, and Washingtonian Magazine for the quality of our investment and financial planning advice. Experience the difference a nationally recognized wealth management firm can provide. Call the Wise Investor Group today.
Call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor. The Wise Investor Group is affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 4848 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 4848.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. With millions of YouTube views, shares, Instagram likes, followers, and fans across the globe. But what do all these amazing pets have in common? Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a shelter or adoptable pets near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard? Well, that's entirely up to you. Visit theshelterpetproject.org and hear more about Hamilton the Pug, Toast, and Keyboard Cat's amazing adoption stories. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Your perfect pet is just a click away at theshelterpetproject.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Saturday morning update, WMAL. What did you do over the 4th of July weekend? Did you go to the beach? If you were in New Jersey, you didn't go to a state beach because they were closed due to a budget dispute between the governor and the legislature. Well, you may have seen the pictures of Governor Christie lounging in flip-flops, shorts, and a baseball hat at the Island Beach State Park. He was the only one on the beach because it was closed to the public. So he took a lot of heat for that. And one of the reporters had asked him if he'd gotten some sun. He said no. And then they showed him the pictures. Well, there's a little more to the story. And this is how Governor Christie explained it. You probably didn't hear this on the mainstream media outlets that portrayed it as they did.
After I've been working all morning to sit and talk with my wife and our guests for 40 minutes, before I had to leave to come back to work, as getting sun. That wasn't what I was out there to get. The way I took Claude's question was, hey, were you like out laying out getting a tan today? That wasn't what I was doing, and that's not what those pictures show.
So he's taken all this heat. Well, now Democratic Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno is calling for that beach house to be sold outright. It is state property, and the governor gets to use it, but now the Democrats want to get rid of it. Unbelievable. Now, quick note on Chris Christie. What's he going to do after his governorship ends? Well, for 2 days this coming week, Governor Christie is scheduled to sit in as a guest host on a sports talk radio station in New York. An appearance a station spokeswoman called an audition. Christie slated to be heard Monday and Tuesday in the afternoon. The 2 days will be audition days, according to a station spokesperson. The afternoon host is leaving once his contract ends later this year. That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. News next with Steve Burns, then Garden Sense.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington. 105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk.